Finding Christ in Cinema and the Great Commission Transmission Network is made possible by the support of listeners like you. To learn more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate.
Hey, all you movie buffs out there. I'm David Gaddy.
And I'm Jeremiah Orr.
Together we are
the Theonauts. And you're listening to Finding Christ in Cinema with your hosts, Michael and Brendan.
Right here at gctnetwork.com, your Great Commission Transmission.
On this episode of Finding Christ in Tom Hanks Films, we leave the comforts of Brooklyn, USA for the luxury of Cold War era East Berlin and look for Christian themes in Bridge of Spies. What can Rudolph Abel teach us about Jesus' golden rule? How is insurance lawyer James Donovan an advocate for the Christian faith? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in, admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 94. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You are tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission Transmission.
Hey, we skipped another week last week.
Are we starting a new trend?
No, this is not a trend. This was an unforeseen break, I guess.
Just
those are the breaks, kids.
Yeah.
But what did we watch the last time we were in studio?
Well, last time we were here, we finally finished Back to the Future.
Man, I think that was an out of the park home run.
I think we have the makings of an Amazon ebook on our hands. Just do simple little essays on the trilogy. Available for $5.99 in your local Kindle store.
Your local Kindle. Yeah. Did you have anything that you wanted to add to that? Take away from it? Addendums, afterthoughts. Oh, and another thing.
No, I'm good.
I wonder how hard it would be to get Thomas F. Wilson onto an episode of Finding Christ in Cinema. He's a podcaster, I found out. Lo and behold.
Really?
Yes, so he is well familiarized, and we all know that podcasters love podcasting. We love the medium. It's a magical medium.
Yeah.
You know, and so anyway, we may want to look into that. We'll go onto IMDb and find his agent and drop him a line.
Yes. Actually, I think he's his own agent.
Well, I think he should be. Because, I mean, with that temper.
That mad dog Buford temper.
What are we talking about this week, Brendan?
Oh, this week we're officially changing the name of the show.
Oh, okay. We do this every once in a while.
Yeah, Finding Christ in Tom Hanks Films.
Yay, all the kids say.
Because this week we are looking at his latest endeavor with fellow actor Mark Rylance and director Steven Spielberg, Bridge of Spies.
Absolutely. Are you ready to go to the movies?
I'm ready, sir.
Here we go.
You've been selected for a mission which you are not to discuss with anyone outside of this room. We are engaged in a war with the Soviet Union. This war does not for the moment involve men at arms. It involves information.
Something important has come up.
We've got a Soviet spy.
But there's a wrinkle.
They got our spy pilot. Or the head full of classified information. The Russians want their man back before he cracks. We want you to negotiate the swap.
I'm an insurance lawyer. I'm not sure I want to pick that up.
Are you good at what you do?
This will be a first for the both of us.
You should be careful.
I'm talking to you about the security of your country.
Why aren't we hanging him? He's a spy!
You're asking me to violate the Constitution.
Do you know how people will look at us? The family of a man trying to free a traitor?
Everyone deserves a defense. Every person matters. Where do they want this negotiation?
East Berlin.
just tell me that you're not going to be in any danger.
I don't even care if it's the truth. Give me something to hold on to.
We need to have the conversation our governments can't.
People in my country consider this an act of war.
You can call it what you want. Let's be clear. Nobody is safe.
We're in a battle for civilization.
The Constitution is what makes us Americans. Shouldn't we show our enemy who we are?
Things have started to fall apart.
Is this your position or your government's?
Is there any outcome here where I'm not either detained or shot?
Do we need to worry about you?
No!
What's the move when you don't know what the game is?
The next mistake our countries make could be the last one.
Brendan, you brought a big, gigantic, beautiful film to the table when you said, let's do Bridge of Spies. This movie, amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it was during E.T. when I was saying, you know, Steven Spielberg ain't all that.
Well,
now I'm embarrassed.
I would be lying if I had said I didn't agree somewhat with that statement. But
this gorgeous filmmaking,
yes,
on all levels, every single level.
Mm-hmm.
What, you went and saw this in the theater?
Yes.
What was your first impressions?
First impression, walking out of it. Now, granted, I saw this movie with Sir Richard the Lionheart,
FCC's very own.
Yes, FCC's very own Sir Richard the Lionheart, and he's a film guy as much as I'm a theater guy.
Yes.
So
is best of both worlds.
Yeah, it really, well, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But I can tell whenever he watches a movie, he's not only looking at the story of what's being told and what's being presented, but he's looking at the medium itself.
At the craft.
The film, at the craft, yes. Like I said, the same way I would watch a play. He's looking at all the intricate stuff that the average moviegoer doesn't pick up on.
And lighting and blocking.
Lighting and composition.
Yes.
David Getty of our sister show, The Theonauts, knows exactly what we're talking about because he's a film school student.
Yes.
And
extraordinaire,
yes. Aficionado, if you will. And with this film, yes, it comes off initially when I was first watching it as what I would call highbrow artistry.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Steven Spielberg knows what he's doing with
He
knows what he's doing with the medium, and he knows how to best use that medium to tell the message.
Right.
To show off this story and let the story take its effects. And I say it's highbrow artistry, but what usually happens with that term is that it becomes exclusive. And it comes almost shovey and alienating.
Okay.
But with Steven Spielberg, and there are a few other, and I mean few other directors that can still make it accessible.
I was just going to say, it is accessible.
Yeah.
So that's actually a way to help bring people up to a higher level, isn't it?
Yes.
Make it accessible, but mm-hmm. beautiful and what would you say? What make it
endearing?
Okay. And that is a
desirable.
I think that Scorsese did that in Hugo, which is another one of my favorite, newer films, I guess, within the last 5, 6, 7 years. And that's what I was thinking of when I was watching this film. So yes, accessible so that anybody can come along for the ride, but it does bring you up to a higher plane.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I watched it for the first time yesterday, and I'm a sucker for it right off the bat because I love the 1950s. I love anything pre 1964. When, in other words, here's a little bit about me, friends. When Kennedy was assassinated, everything stunk after that, and still does to this day. So, in my mind, I like pre Kennedy assassination all the way back to the 30s and the 20s, and so when I tune in, I'm watching a movie and everybody's wearing nice hats. I already know I'm in the right place. At least visually speaking, aesthetically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But then you marry that with the cinematography of a film and the direction, obviously, of a film such as this. And I was just bowled over. Besides that, FCC's very own Tom Hanks
mm-hmm.
has to be one of the greatest actors of all time.
of all time.
Yep.
He can go in and step into any kind of a role. Obviously, a man of his caliber does not have to act. He never has to work another day in his life. He hasn't had to do that in decades now, yeah. Right? And that's what I want to ask him when we get him finally get him on the show. Why do you choose the roles that you do? You know, wouldn't that be a fun conversation to ask?
Yeah.
Because you know it's much more than, oh, I read the script and it was intriguing to me. I enjoyed the script. Okay, that's the surface level answer. Yeah. Let's dive deep. What?
Why did you enjoy it?
Yes.
What specifically did you enjoy about it?
What did you like? What was the message to you? You know, things, oh boy, that would be fun to talk about. But Brendan, go ahead. Give us your big shout out. Let's talk about this guy.
Well, we've talked about... You mean Mr. Rudolph Abel?
Yes.
Mr. Mark Rylance. He's the actor who plays...
He won the Oscar.
He won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for this role in this film. And guys, when you watch it, you're going to understand, yeah, he deserves it.
Hey, whoa, you know what we should have done? I don't know that we're going to spoil the film. I think that you should be familiar with the story. It is based on a true story, but if you aren't familiar with it, then we'll spoil, mostly. But if you haven't seen this movie...
Just go watch it.
Stop the podcast now and go watch this movie. David Gaddy of our sister show, The Theonauts! I'm talking to you, because I messaged him last night. Have you seen Bridge of Spies? No, I have not. So this movie is gorgeous. David's going to be... I'd like to know what David thinks. And it's so overtly Christian in its message.
Yep.
Okay, Mark Rylance, who is a... I mean...
He is a theater... His background is in theater.
Yeah, he's a maven, I would say.
He does a lot of work with Shakespeare's Globe Theater. In fact, in 2013... He was in two shows for that company, and he won awards for both of those roles.
Wow.
It was, I mean, he's just that good. He's a, like I was saying before the show, he's a character actor at its finest capacity. Because like you said, he's got the tics, he's got the nuances, he's got those things that make him that character, and he never lets off of it.
Right.
He is that character for the film.
Absolutely.
I don't know what he does with personal life. Not my business. But when I'm watching him on film, he's that character. He in this film, he's Rudolph Abel. Yeah. And he's...
The performance...
Ineffable.
Yes, absolutely. Cannot be put into words. He deserved every ounce of that little Oscar statue that he got for this portrayal. Born in 1960 in Kent, down there in England. And he spends his time on the stage, and look at there, his profile picture is wearing a nice hat. That's a good man right there. What else do you want to say about Mark Rylance? Anything? Here's a little sidebar. For aspiring stage performers out there, how can they be like a Mark Rylance? How can they even tap into a percentage of that kind of talent? You're a director as well. How would you direct an aspiring stage performer?
With Mark Rylance as the example,
yes,
I would say just know that anything that you do with your body on stage will be not only magnified to the nth degree. So whatever you do, even if you like, say for example, you're in a show and you have this itch on your shoulder. Now this gets into like extreme stuff. So you have an itch on your shoulder that obviously you didn't plan for. You didn't rehearse to have an itch on your shoulder. But what you have to do is then, as the actor portraying this character, you have to scratch your shoulder the way that your character would scratch his shoulder.
Right. You need to be the character.
Mm-hmm. Or if your leg starts, you know, falling asleep. Some people sit for a long time. One of their legs goes asleep. If that's a cumbrance, then you somehow have to work that into your performance so that it doesn't break the fourth wall. Michael, you know what I mean by
yes.
that. But just to elaborate, that doesn't break the illusion that this is a controlled setting. This is a play that is going on. And it's not, in fact, real life, even though the pretense is that you are looking at a slice of life from behind the, quote, fourth wall.
And but then here's the catch, is that while you are performing, you're still in real life, and real life things happen. You exactly. may need to sneeze.
Yeah,
or you may get a frog in your throat.
You may have to pick a booger.
Yeah.
you know, get the tweezers for the old bat in the cave.
Yes.
And you may, I know Melanie Gaddy, she'll like this. You may have to use a neti pot on stage in front of hundreds of people.
And I know that she doesn't like that.
She doesn't
at all.
Like that. Sorry.
All right. Some Forgive more shout outs, real quick. Scott Shepard as a CIA agent, Hoffman.
I feel like he's FCC zone already.
He seems familiar to me.
He does. Let me.
I don't know where though. I even looked preliminary. Yes,
there you
I
go.
Did a preliminary search, but I couldn't find it. But I think that he turned in a wonderful performance. But even more than that, we have a couple of foreigners, and of course they are way down here in the at the bottom. I don't know why they got shoved way down at the bottom of the cast list, but
I think the cast list on this one is first build.
Yeah.
So the order of their appearance in the film, and they don't show up till.
Well, Ivan Shishkin is the character who is the Russian. Oh, I'm just a mid-level secretary. You know, he's dealing with Donovan, and he was born in Germany. Mikhail Gorvoy. Wonderful performance. And same with Vogel. We only know him as Vogel, but his character's name is Wolfgang Vogel, and he's the man in Germany, and he's German-born. Sebastian Koch. Both of those guys, I thought...
Yeah.
The casting in this film really brought it to life.
Yes.
It was just exceptional all along. The lady that played Mary, Donovan's wife, she did a fantastic job. Alan Alda, I don't know, is he FCC's very own?
I can't think right now. I don't know if he is.
Neither can I.
Glad he is now.
Yes.
I love the way his voice sounds. I've always loved his voice.
Yeah, I mean, he sounds the same as Hawkeye, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And... you know, I've loved him my whole life. I've known Hawkeye Pierce my whole entire lifetime. Yeah. I remember, you'll recall, late at night, getting out of bed for a drink of water or what have you, and going into the living room and hearing the theme to MASH because my dad's watching MASH, and great stuff. Any other shout outs that you feel that we need to give?
Oh, to the writers. I think the writers in this one definitely, because. With James Donovan's character, he's an insurance lawyer, and I really think they kind of gave him those character traits through his speech. Same thing with Abel. Same thing. I would say with the judge who played the judge.
Mortimer. The judge's name?
Byers.
Okay,
Mortimer.
Judge Byers was Dakin Matthews.
Same thing with him.
Yeah.
And you know, shout out to him because I loved his character, as villainous as he was. You know, sometimes you gotta love a villain.
Yeah.
But let's see, who the writers...
I love how they implied that his wife is really had a bit to do with him choosing life or 30 years in prison versus the death.
The chair.
Yeah. So, yes.
Now, this is surprising.
What is?
Joel and Ethan Coen.
The Coen brothers? Is that the Coen brothers?
Yeah. And then
really?
And then alongside Matt Charman.
The Coen brothers. That's... Like No Country for Old Men?
Yeah.
True Grit? The Big Lebowski?
I guess.
Wow.
Wow, yeah.
That's really surprising, isn't it? That's a big left-hand turn.
So I think what you're saying is that the Big Lebowski needs to go on Patron St. Philip Presents.
The list! No, it does not.
Oh.
But the Dude Abides.
The Dude Abides.
Yeah, the Dude Abides.
I still haven't even seen it. Okay. So anyway, okay.
John Goodman is absolutely fantastic. That would get John Goodman on FCC's very own, which he is not yet. But his character is just...
Is he not?
No, he is not. We talked about that a couple of episodes ago that we needed to get John Goodman on...
Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
...on board. But his character in The Big Lebowski is just beyond foul.
Okay.
Anyway, what other shout-outs?
Industrial strength filters.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that whole film.
Well, actually, a shout-out that can still go to the writers, but then provide a little segue for our points.
Okay.
The writing of the film, the way it's written, the way it's crafted,
yes,
how it goes between the one situation and the other. You've got the one situation, which is the primary situation with Rudolph Abel and Tom Hanks, Rudolph Abel and James Donovan.
Yes.
You've got that primary situation, the main plot line. But then you have this other plot line going on with the American spy. And I love how the film goes between the two to help build up, excuse me, I bubbled.
All these noises and the
how it leads up into the climax of the film at the bridge. That's masterful storytelling.
Yes.
And it's laying side by side, similitude, if you will. Not really. That's stretching the term. But just, you know, you would see something happen with Rudolph Abel, but then you would see it happen to the American spy as well, whose name I think his name was Powers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see Abel's and then you see Powers. Is there something about those names? Maybe. This is the Cold War. Who is Abel? He who has power. I don't know.
You're digging deep now, though.
Oh, we're at 2D. That's a rabbit trail. We can talk about another time. But just the going back and forth, which normally is a problem for me because I like it to be singular.
Yeah.
Singular problem. But with this, it's done very well.
Well, and also shows the dichotomy between the two situations.
Yeah.
The two, both how each is being treated and how each is reacting under their circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found that very interesting. You know, because the tendency on a film like this is going to cause people to say, what propaganda? And they're, you know, trying to, you know, because I see a lot of messages in this movie and a lot of things that are apropos to the here and now, things going on, I don't even want to get into that because that'll be, you know, that's too much meal for the grist, as they say. But okay, so.
No, grist for the mill.
Yes. that too.
That.
Cannon for the fodder? No?
Yeah, we're close. All right. So anyway, let's just go ahead and get into it.
Okay.
Real quick and real simple, guys. At the very beginning of the film, Rudolph Abel brings up the golden rule. And we all know the golden rule. It's from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, verse 12, from the NLT, from the NILT, if you wilt. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the Law of the Prophets.
But surely Jesus wasn't talking about Cold War spies from nasty, filthy, dirty red Russia.
Well, that's true. His audience was, well, I guess that nullifies that point.
Okay.
All right. Show's over, guys. Next week on FCC.
Oh, that was man. We tried.
Oh, man. Talk about
our first failure.
Talk about sinking. Anyway, Jesus, his audience was a Jewish audience, but that's one of those things that does apply to anyone.
It's a universal statement. I mean, the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus teaching how you behave in how citizens of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, this is how you behave.
It is their rule book.
Yeah, if you want to call it that.
If you will. And what makes us, it's like, we should have clipped that. When Tom Hanks says, what makes us Americans?
Yes, we follow the
rule book. Yeah. What makes us Christians? Well, we do what Jesus says. Yeah. We obey him.
Yeah.
Oh, see, now there's a freebie right there.
Yep, there you go. We're not even planned on that one. Yeah. See what happens off the cuff? It's a beautiful thing here in Finding Christ in Cinema.
It's what happens.
Yes.
Anyway, at the very beginning of the film, we see this, and really it's when Mark Rylance's character, Rudolph Abel, has already been arrested, detained. He's being presented with this lawyer out of the pretense of, you know, he has to have due process. You know,
American justice system. The finest. Yes.
Finest in the land. Yes. If you can afford it.
Yeah.
So, and lo and behold, he gets stuck with a lowly insurance salesman, insurance lawyer.
Yes.
James Donovan. And, you know, they go through their terms. Abel finally agrees to let Donovan represent him. And then he asks for a little comfort.
Yeah.
I would like materials to draw with.
That's not possible.
Pencil, piece of paper, cigarettes. Please. Mr. Donovan, you have men like me doing the same for your country. If they were caught, I'm sure that you would wish them to be treated well.
Well said.
Yes, and I love that scene, not only because of Tom Hanks and Mark Rylance's acting, but just because of the camera work. Because when he says, pencil, piece of paper, cigarettes, please, there's this brief little pause, and the camera, you know, the camera cuts from Rylance down to the paper that Donovan's writing on, but then it pans up to it pans up to Donovan's eyes at the same time he looks up at Rylance with this look of like disbelief. He's like, I can't believe you're asking for this right now. And just the look,
this is what's on your mind?
It's like, and that's another thing I like about Abel's character in this film. He doesn't worry.
Yeah.
Would it help?
Yeah.
He's like, you just don't worry about anything.
If you think it'll help, then I can, I can turn on the waterworks if you need.
I just like his character for that, for many reasons, but that's one of the main ones. He says, Mr. Donovan, you have people in your country like me doing the same thing. If they were caught, I'm sure you would wish them to be treated well.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the golden rule.
Yes. And you know what? Can I just qualify that statement by saying that in many cases, our spies were not treated well. Okay. Mm-hmm. But that's not the issue. The issue is, no matter how they're being treated, how are you going to behave? How are you going to behave? You have to answer for yourself.
Because it's easy to point at everything else around you and say, well, look,
they're doing.
They're doing it.
Yep.
Why can't I do it?
Yep.
You know, well, you can't do it because you're an American.
Yep.
In the context of this film, you're American, and you go by the rule book. You go by the decency.
And for purposes of Finding Christ in cinema, we can't do that because we are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
We represent, we're diplomats. We're ambassadors of the King of Kings.
Just again, to throw out a David Gaddy term, we're as Christians, we are to bring honor to our master.
Amen.
By doing that thing that they're doing over there, that wicked, vile, nasty thing, that brings shame on him.
Yep.
And as Christians, we should strive to not do that and instead bring honor to him.
Yes.
And really, I'm glad that Mr. Donovan is here to witness this request and be the recipient of this request, because he's the type of person already. I think already he's the type of person that values the way of the kingdom already.
Yeah.
So much so that he is willing to, you know, do what he can just to get the guy something to take his mind, or to comfort. Like I said, to comfort him. It's not a necessity of life to have pencil and drawing paper and cigarettes and whatnot, but it's something to ease the process.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really what sticks with Donovan's character throughout the whole film.
Well, his character is one that we will, you know, I'm going to get right down to it of what his character actually is. But when he takes on this job, you know, he's offered it. Right, I love that scene. They throw down the indictment or whatever. He said, I'm not sure I want to pick that up. You know, I want to have anything to do with this. Well, hey, the bar chose you because of who you are. You know, the kind of person that you are, and we need that in order to show the world that everybody gets fair treatment through the justice system of the United States. So they pick him because of his character.
Because of his,
yes.
Go ahead, say it. His virtue,
yes, which actually ends up backfiring on them,
on them, because yes. because of his, I'll just go and say it again. His virtuous just the way he does his job.
Well, when he gets home and he's talking to the family at dinner time, he just says specifically, he lays it all out to his son.
And the Bar Association asked me because they want to show that even a spy gets a capable advocate.
They chose me because I am a capable advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're having this conversation at the dinner table, and his wife is just, you know, beside herself. Why? You can't get into this. He's a traitor. He's a traitor. What, you know, and people are fearful of this man and these people, and people are out buying bomb shelters and whatever kind of tablets, you know, she's talking about. All these survival techniques. His son's at school. He knows all about that turtle cartoon. You can download that duck and cover. You can get that on the Internet Archive and have your very own copy. They were showing kids that kind of stuff all day long. Even when I was a kid, because the Cold War was still going on, and yeah, I have a brochure from the 50s up on the shelf here in the studio of what to do in case of a nuclear attack. And when I was a kid, we had duck and cover drills regularly. Get underneath the desk, cover your thing, all this stuff. Well, they're scaring the tar out of the kids, even so much so that Donovan tells us, I don't think you're ever going to have to worry about that. And it turns out he was right. We never had to worry about that. But regardless, he's going on, and his wife is saying, how can you even consider doing this? And get a big old argument.
The Rosenbergs were traitors.
Who were they?
That's your sister's.
They gave atomic secrets to the Russians. They were Americans. They betrayed their country. You can't accuse Abel of being a traitor. He's not an American.
Listen to yourself. You're defending him already.
I'm hungry.
You're rehearsing it on me. You said you were just thinking about
it. I am just thinking about it. Just very hard. Everyone deserves a defense. Every person matters.
Jim, what do we deserve? Do you know how people will look at us? The family of a man trying to free a traitor?
He's not a traitor, Mary.
Yes, yes, Roger, get that. He's not a traitor.
But what do I have to do all the work?
Oh, wait till we say grace.
I'm hungry.
He's not the most unpopular man in this country, and you're trying to take second place.
Yeah, and I'm third.
Carol, you just dated the wrong guy. Mary, don't make this an argument. We're not having an argument. You're against him, I'm for him. No, I'm not for him. I'm not for the Russian spying on us. I'm for his right to have a defense in a court of law, which is why they call it a court of law.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
A court of law. Hey, Doug.
Oh, no, not at all.
A court of law.
Jim was just flailing.
A kangaroo court. I'm not flailing. Go ahead, Doug. You can join us for dinner. We're having meatloaf tonight.
Okay, that was a fantastic scene.
Yeah.
Wow. Talking over each other and stuff and staying on track and wow. Okay, so that was another shout out right there.
Any theater geeks out there, that's pretty much Anton Chekhov right there. Anyway, okay. Go ahead.
And then he tells us right in the middle of that exchange what he's all about. Everyone deserves a defense. Every person matters. That's the kind of person that he is. That is the capable advocate. That's why they chose him, and that's why it backfired on them. Even though it turned out great for everybody in the end, right? Yeah. We're finding out what kind of a man this is. So much so that he's going to go, and he's going to go to the judge in side chambers and saying, "Hey, I need more time in order to." And what does the judge say? Well, in fact, I clipped that. Let's just go ahead and listen here.
Is this serious?
Yes, yes, indeed it is. You can see in the filing.
Jim, this man is a Soviet spy.
Allegedly.
Come on, counselor.
Your Honor.
Of course, I salute you. We all salute you for taking on a thankless task. This man has to have due process, but let's not kid each other. He'll receive a capable defense. And God willing, he'll be convicted. Come on, counselor.
This is what Donovan is fighting against across the board. God willing, he'll be convicted. That's what they want to see happen. He's wanting to see a fair trial. He's wanting to be an advocate for Abel. Then when he's convicted, then after the conviction, he says, you know, they're going out of the courtroom and, oh, actually, the sentencing, because they did convince the judge, hey, don't kill him. Give him a prison term.
Let's just hold him just in case.
Just in case. And they do. The judge gives him 30 years. This same judge that says, God willing, you'll be convicted, you know. even though he was, for all intent and purposes, he was admitting in that scene, this is a show. Mm-hmm. This is a show. Come on. He's a spy. He doesn't deserve this.
And I think that speaks into the main conflict of the film is mob mentality getting in the way of the truth.
Well, it's justice, right? But are we looking at justice the way that God looks at justice? That's the ultimate question that I see. He's a spy. Well, everybody knows that. They're trying to kill us. Well, we never mentioned that we're trying to kill them at the same time. Mm-hmm. We're ready. We're ready. We got our finger. Who's pushing the button first?
It's almost like they're trying to build a wall around themselves.
Right. So anyway, they picked the wrong man because he's a capable advocate who believes that everyone deserves a defense. Every person matters. This man matters. Then after the sentencing, he says, the reporters, give us a statement or statement. Well, we feel we have a good legs to stand on for an appeal. And then his partner, Hawkeye, goes sideways.
Mm-hmm.
What are you? This is done. You did what you needed to do. He's been convicted. We did what we needed to do as the United States. He's convicted. We fell on our face on the execution part. Now you're even going further. What's the deal? And then here's Donovan turns right to Hawkeye Pierce and says,
Tom, if you look me in the eye and tell me we don't have grounds for an appeal, I'll drop it right
now. I'm not saying that. You know what I'm saying.
Tom is saying there's a cost to these things.
That's right.
A cost to both your family and your firm.
Now we're finding out the real gist. There's a cost to this kind of behavior.
Hmm.
To your family, and we saw what happened. So house got shot up.
Mm-hmm.
And to the firm. And that's what Alan Alda, Tom's character, is worried about.
Mm-hmm.
What's this going to do to our firm? You're going crazy on me, is what he said before that.
Yeah.
He used some colorful language that I chose not to include here.
Right. By the way, it filters up.
Yeah. There's a cost to this. There's a cost. And so now I'm starting to think of this idea of advocacy, the advocate, a little bit more deeply. And we can add it to our series on the advocate, because I titled this movie The Parakletos of Spies. Ugh. Oh, see, James B. Donovan, Brendan, is the bridge of spies. He advocates for Abel, Powers, and Pryor. All mm-hmm. three equally. Okay, a couple definitions. Bridge. Let's look at bridge. It's a noun, obviously, right? Yeah. Definition number one, in two parts. A structure carrying a pathway or roadway over a depression or obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, a bridge is a time, place, or means of connection or transition.
Mm-hmm.
You like those?
I like them.
Okay, setting up a picture. Now let's talk about advocate.
Also a noun.
And three definitions here. An advocate is one that pleads the cause of another, specifically one that pleads the cause of another before a tribunal or judicial court.
Mm-hmm.
Two, one that defends or maintains a cause or proposal. And three, one that supports or promotes the interests of another.
Mm.
Brendan, let's turn to Psalm, the 106th Psalm, and we're just going to read one verse. Verse 23 out of the NASB, New American Standard Bible. Therefore, God said that he would destroy them. Oh, who could we be talking about? Well, hold on, because, that threat may have been given to many people, but let's see if we get specific here. He said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them. I see a bridge. There's a bridge in here, in this verse. And it's associated with Moses, his chosen one, who stood in the breach. That's what a structure carrying a pathway or roadway over a depression or obstacle, or a time, place, or means of connection or transition. Now, in Ezekiel, and I want you all to go back and read these passages in context so that you can know exactly what's going on. I highly encourage that type of behavior. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, out of the Common English Bible, God says, I looked for anyone to repair the wall and stand in the gap for me on behalf of the land so I wouldn't have to destroy it. But I couldn't find anyone. I couldn't find another Moses, is what God is saying. Stand in the gap. A gap?
To bridge the divisions?
Exactly. To make a connection?
to reconnect.
Yes. There you go.
Oh.
So there we have. See, God likes bridges.
Mm-hmm.
James B. Donovan is the bridge. And he's connecting these gaps. He's connecting these breaches. He is providing a pathway or a roadway over an obstacle. So much so that he will not give up on saving Pryor as well. That student. That goofy student. What a ding-dong! For not realizing, they don't care if you're a student, son.
Yeah,
you've got all the you got this big old book that you're showing off to them about you're writing about communism. You're a spy. Mm-hmm. You're obviously a spy. What a goofy kid! But James B. Donovan doesn't care how goofy that kid is, and he will not stop until he gets his friend Abel back home. And he gets Powers, the soldier, back to his home. And he gets this goofy kid, Pryor, back to his home. Mm-hmm. Because he's only 25. He's just starting life, man. Yeah. I'm not leaving without him. And so he makes all the connections that he needs to make. And then he goes back to the hotel room. And Special Agent, I can't remember what his name is. And he's
about Hoffman?
Yes. Yeah. Donovan's a little dejected because, wait a second, with the Germans or the East Germans, that deal for Pryor, that's gone south.
So the Russians are fine with the exchange, but now Vogel is saying that the East Germans won't do it. We're not going to get Pryor.
Great. Good. So the Soviets are set. We get Powers. We get Powers. Well done.
No, the East Germans won't do it. We won't get Pryor. And look, that kid matters. Every person matters.
Sure, that's why you tried. That's why you tried. Abel's on his way, so we're all set for tomorrow morning.
Wait a minute.
Makes things simple.
We are not getting the kid.
Yeah, I understand. We're set.
Who cares about the kid? I care about the kid. Because, once again,
every person matters.
That's what Moses said.
I'm telling you, it's the group mob mentality versus the respectful individual. Yeah. But I digress. Go ahead, sorry.
Moses said, these Israelites who are driving me nuts, they matter. They matter. He didn't convince God of anything. God is saying, I put you in this position because you are an advocate. Mm-hmm. You are standing in the gap. You're my chosen one. And are you going to do it? And Moses says, I am going to do it. Everything that they've done, lay it on my account. Lay it on my charge.
Mm-hmm. I'll vouch for him.
That's what every person matters. Okay, let's just get down to it. 1 John 2, verse 1, out of the NILT, New Living Translation. John says, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, oh, like what? Like invading a foreign country in order to steal information? Or perhaps invading another foreign country to also steal information?
Well, let's just go ahead and use the biblical term, transgressing.
Yes. Yes. There you go. Or maybe you're just a goofy kid that thinks that you're going to be able to reason with other people. He sinned. He erred. He went the wrong way. Everybody here are all sinners. They're all transgressors.
Mm-hmm.
My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not transgress.
So that you will not miss the mark.
So that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have a James B. Donovan. We have a Moses. We have a bridge. We have a Paraclete or a Paracletos.
Or Paracletes.
We have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. This advocate is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous.
Because once we were far off, but now we have been brought near.
By that bridge. Mm. And I love the illustration. You know the one where they say, you got the two cliffs and the gulf between. It's like man, God, and then the cross.
I was like, oh, there's the cross.
Jesus bridging the gap.
Uh-huh.
This is a great picture of what the ultimate advocate does. Moses was a picture, a type and a shadow of the Christ. God has always been looking for people to bridge the gap, to stand in the gap, to stand in the breach, to bring back God and man, and he provided that himself. So that was your key text, 1 John 2:1. That's what you have to remember as you are sitting on your
double-decker couch
watching Paracletos of Spies.
Yeah,
with your friends and loved ones.
With your friends and Tom Hanks ones.
It's a simple message that is through the entire film. And why would we do this? Because Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. And I love in your point that Abel just reminded James B. Donovan of what kind of a person he is. You know why? Because he was telling James B. Donovan, you are the standing man.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the standing man. So much so that when they knocked him down to death, he got up.
Got back up, Bubba.
Wow. What an awesome movie, Brendan.
Yep.
Do you have questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
Actually, yes.
Yes,
this
good.
This is one I didn't think of until you started talking about Pryor.
Okay.
Why do you think Pryor's in the film?
I don't know. Why?
Michael.
Tell me.
you were saying...
I think he's the everyman. I think he's
I
us.
Think so. He's the audience surrogate.
Oh!
Gather round, children.
Oh, good! Brendan's gonna learn ya!
The audience surrogate. Yes, the everyman is the character through which the audience places themselves. And yes, while he had good intentions of...
The best of intentions.
The best of intentions, yes. His actions just were not that smart.
Right.
And
it reminded me of me.
He was naive enough to believe that he could cross over
and reason
that wall and reason with these people. Go, you know, he wanted to go save his beloved, I forgot her name.
Yeah. Sweet girl. Sweet German.
Yeah. He wanted to go save her and bring her back through the wall before it closed up. And of course, it just happens to close up where he rode through in the from the 5 minutes that he left that spot to when he came back.
Yes.
You know, as movies are wont to do. And
good drama.
Yeah. And just it's through Pryor that we as the audience place ourselves in the situation.
Okay.
Because we want to believe in the best of everyone else and assume best intent. Yeah. But when it's crazy situations like it was during the Cold War.
Yeah.
Hey, sometimes
it's like Jesus told the disciples, when you see these things happening, flee.
Yeah.
And that's Pryor didn't flee.
He didn't flee. Or
he waited too long.
He looked back.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you're absolutely right, because I'm looking at the guy and saying, I would do something like that. I'm that dumb to think that I would be. Let's just reason this out,
look,
guys.
I'll explain the truth.
Yeah, I'm not here to hurt anybody. Believe me.
That I'm a student. I'm just here to learn.
Yeah.
I'm here to observe and report.
I want to be a learner of things.
I just want to know.
Yes.
I just want to know. Yep. I want to get to the root of the matter.
Yep.
Well, yeah, Jesus sometimes says, no, just go.
Yeah.
Just get out.
You got to go.
Flee.
Yeah.
Flee from the wrath to come.
Yes.
Sorry, there goes
FCC's very own John Bunyan
again.
What a wonderful movie. It's simple when you look at it through the eyes of the Bible, through the eyes of the gospel.
Yeah.
And the gospel is in this. It's good news that Jesus is our bridge. And so, listeners, what Christian themes did you find in Bridge of Spies? What a wonderful, beautiful movie. First of all, you can geek out about how beautiful this movie is. And then second of all, let us know what Christian themes that you found in it. And moving on. Here we go.
Oh,
hey, get your coconuts. You ready?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Who goes there? It is I.
I don't know.
Being me.
I'm guessing...
This does some cute technology,
no.
Like the Iron Man suit.
Why did I even push that button?
Scott!
I don't know. Oh, Philip! Saint Philip! It's been 2 weeks. Yeah. Patron Saint Philip is taking us to King Philip's stables. Would you like to take over?
Yes, he says, hey guys, it was really cool how he used the entire trilogy to symbolize the process of a Christian journey. Whoa.
This was a comment left on Back to the Future Part 3, Sanctification. Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 93. You can listen to that at christincinema.com.
Yes, yes. Hey, guys, it was really cool how you used the entire trilogy to symbolize the process of the Christian journey.
Yeah.
One thing I get from Part 3 is a reminder of Proverbs 15:22 from the ESV.
Yes.
From the English Standard Version. Without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed.
Yay!
Thank you, children. Thank you. Now back to your hole. Seamus and Maggie gave Marty some good advice and had a wider view of his situation with Mad Dog Tannen.
Mm-hmm.
Marty could have saved himself some trouble had he recognized the wise counselors and heeded their advice. There's a lot of people in this world giving bad, ungodly advice. But when we encounter a wise person giving biblical truth, we need to recognize that.
Amen.
And listen, and put that truth into practice. Now, Michael, about Johnny Depp. I have just the film to make you a fan of his, and it happens to be streaming on Netflix, 2004's Finding Neverland.
Have you seen that, Brendan?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not, but that's not why I'm a fan of Johnny Depp.
Okay.
But anyway, it's based on the true story of J.M.
Barry.
Barry? Barry?
Barry?
Barry, I don't know.
Barry.
And how Peter Pan came to be. I guess that's the writer.
Both those people?
The author of Peter Pan, I assume.
Yeah. Well, it's how J.M. Barry and Peter Pan came to be.
Yeah.
All in one fell swoop. Oh, there goes some noises again. Sorry.
I bubbled again. Depp gives my favorite performance of his, showing his more restrained sides.
And
Brendan both have an interest in theater, so that's all the more reason to check it out.
Oh, right.
I'm not sure if it's a good idea for...
Patron St. Philip presents...
The List! But it's a great film. And then he provides the Netflix link in the feedback.
Okay.
Love the show, guys. Keep up the good work. Hashtag...
Gimlet! Awesome! I will put that on my personal list, and more on my personal list coming up a little.
Know if I can trust any Philip recommendations anymore.
Why?
Big Trouble in Little China.
Okay,
we'll talk about that later.
Oh, right. Hey, Brendan, we also received a new review on iTunes for Finding Christ in Cinema. 5 stars says, if you love Jesus and movies, this is the podcast you've been looking for.
Hey!
This is by JDog6189. After finally listening through a few of GCTN's podcasts, they have replaced the radio in my car. Jesus spoke in parables. Brendan and Michael speak in movies. The guys enjoy storytelling as an art form and platform to bring themselves and others closer to Christ. I find myself having those goosebump moments right along with them as they seek out Christian themes in nearly every genre of movie. Props to these fellas.
Thank you.
Very nice review. Appreciate that. David Gaddy just jumped on the chat room in there.
On the live.
So anybody else that is using iTunes to listen to Finding Christ in Cinema via your iPhones or your iPads or, you know, perhaps on your computers and laptops, go to iTunes, look us up, and give us a 5-star review. We sure would appreciate that. That helps other people find the show. That's the reason why we are so...
Thank you, J-Dog.
Yeah, J-Dog.
We shall discover who you are really here soon. So
welcome to the family. That's about all I can say. Any other feedback?
No, I don't even got it.
Are you ready for some real news?
Roll it.
La 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 la.
Yes, that is right. Star Wars news. The Force Awakens is coming home on digital HD on April 1st. And that's no fooling. No, April 1st on digital HD and Blu-ray on April 5th.
I see what
that
you did
is
there.
About the best news that I can imagine. Now, the kids agree because we will be able to bump that all the way up to the top of Patron St. Philip Presents The List. So we're getting to Star Wars. The Force Awakens real soon.
Is that echo button still in good working order?
The List! The List! Yes!
Yes! Yes! Yes! Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Oh, yours isn't on. Try it again. Do it yourself.
Oh. Oh, there it is. Wait, hold on. I got one.
Okay, go.
Yes.
Okay. Let's put you over there.
Hey.
You're over in the corner
Whoa.
Now.
Whoa, how did that happen?
Brendan, you go stand in the corner. And then, go over to that corner.
Whoa.
A little fun.
People driving down the road are going crazy right now.
And that is some well-mannered frivolity.
Isn't it?
Hey, the worship show is live. It lives at worshipshow.com. We'll take you there directly. Its home is on gctnetwork.com. It's available on the front page and on the drop down at the top where it says audio. Or you can search for that in iTunes or your favorite podcast app, including we are also on Stitcher. So The Worship Show on Stitcher, iTunes, on gctnetwork.com, and your favorite podcast app. 28 minutes per episode, and, Brendan, it has been picked up on the local radio station, so
hey.
It will be airing on our very own. More information on that.
Only the finest at the GCT Network.
Yes, more information on that as it comes. What have you been up to?
Well, in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah?
Last Wednesday, I spoke at Career Day at Motlow.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It was for Bedford County sophomores, so 3 different schools. They're about, I think they said about 1,500 students. But that's not saying that I spoke to all 1,500. What it was, you came to Motlow's campus, and it's a small town.
You didn't read him Dr. Seuss?
No, sure didn't.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to. No, actually, we watched some clips from Hamilton and some Good Mythical Morning. But I incorporated them into...
No, not sponsors.
Not, yeah, I wish. I incorporated those examples into how you can, you know, make a niche for yourself in the art world.
Ah.
Because, you know, you've got Lin-Manuel Miranda, who's been working on the Hamilton musical since at least 2009, and it's just now getting recognition, like national award-winning recognition. And as I've already discussed in previous Lightning Round with Good Mythical Morning, with Rhett and Link, you know, they started...
I watched 2 episodes of that yesterday.
Is it just...
I watched both of them when they were eating ghost peppers. And then the Carolina Reapers.
Because
for some reason, I'm weird. I go on YouTube and I look at for videos of people eating the world's hottest chilies. I don't know why I do that.
I love whenever they eat something hot and Link starts getting the hiccups. It always happens. I just love it.
Those are the only two things I've watched.
But you think that's silly and you think that is, you know, the essence of well-mannered frivolity, and yet they're making their living off of it.
Yeah.
That is their livelihood.
And here we are trying to teach people more about Jesus.
What are we doing?
Yeah, joke's on us.
But anyway, I just spoke at Career Day at Motlow. It was a nice little thing. I'll probably do it again next
year. That's awesome.
So good for you.
Yeah, well, you need to be mentoring the youth anyway, because you're still youthful, young and youthful. Have you seen any movies lately?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's just address the elephant in the room that is Big Trouble in Little China.
Okay.
Because Philip suggested this a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh. I've never seen it.
Oh, good. You're fine.
I was in high school, I think, when that movie came out. What year did it come out?
86.
Yeah, so I was in high school.
I wasn't even born
yet. And people
yet.
Were quoting that. Thank you. Thank you, Brendan. Well, that's the end of the show. I have to go and have a good cry.
Oh,
why do you the ageism has to stop.
People ask me all the time, have you paid your dues, son? You know what I tell them? I say, yes, sir, I have. The check is in the mail.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh, but they were some buddies. All they would do is quote that movie all day long. I guess that turned me off. So you watched Big Trouble in Little China?
I did. I watched it with the old man.
Oh, okay.
Oh, not you. My dad.
Yeah.
You know. There's ageism for you.
Man. You know what?
He enjoyed it.
I hate comedians.
Thank you. He enjoyed it. We both enjoyed it. I don't know if it'll go on the list or not.
Why?
It's just one of those weird campy beef flicks.
It's ghastly.
Anyway, it actually was ghastly because it had ghosts in it.
Okay.
It was weird.
All right.
Oh, it turns out I do know J-Dog 6190 or 89.
Do you?
Yes. We actually went to Motlow together.
But for career day?
No, for school.
Oh, well, there you go.
For school.
I knew it was somebody born in 1989. Gosh. Wow.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Jeremy, thank you, Jeremy, for the review. We really
just ruined your cover. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh. And now we've gone way off track. Can we pull it back? Have you seen any other movies other than Big China and Little Trouble?
No, Little Trouble. No, Big Trouble and Little China.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I actually saw one in the theater.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I saw Zootopia.
And how was that?
Oh, it is brilliant.
Okay.
I love it. It is so good. It's got my kind of comedy in it.
Well, good.
The cheesy comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, it's just so good.
Okay.
just go watch it. You'll enjoy yourself.
Are you going to write a Monday movie review?
Probably
or
not.
Okay, good. Good.
Let's not even mention that anymore.
Hey, I watched some movies on our two weeks off. I hit the Netflix pretty hard. And I went back and I watched the first Pirates of the Caribbean. What was that one? Dead Man's Chest?
No, that was the second one. Curse of the Black Pearl.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
That's the first one?
Yes.
Okay, that's the one that I saw.
That's not the one with the octopus guy.
No.
Okay, that's Dead Man's Chest.
Okay. So then the Curse of the Black Pearl.
Yes.
And I've tried watching that before, but this time I made it. It took two tries. Okay, but, because I was wondering, I mean...
Because your disdain for Johnny Depp is strong.
I don't know.
He is that odious and offensive to you.
Speaking of odious, we did watch the Garfield movie with my No, because of Odie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, D. Anyway, and then I watched The Aviator with your buddy...
Leo DiCaprio.
Yes. Have you ever seen that film?
I have not.
I like that movie. But then again, I mean, opening up, people are wearing great hats. I knew I was in the right place to begin with.
Movie.
No, but that was an excellent movie, I thought. But then I finished it up with a documentary, Blackfish. Have you seen Blackfish?
I have heard a lot about it.
It's on Netflix.
It's worth... Okay.
Yes.
I think it's actually on Prime, too.
Oh, maybe it is.
Not Prime, but it does keep coming up in my suggestions for Google. So I need to watch it.
Yeah. I won't make any comments on that because I don't want to turn into a big old political discussion or anything. Mm-hmm. But I recommend people watch Blackfish. When God created each step of the creation, what did God end up saying about it?
It's good.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So
what is the human tendency to try to make it better? And where does that often end up? Anyway, okay.
It often ends up in death. Yes. Let's just say that. So anyway, that was what I did on me and Netflix. Pirates, The Aviator. Man, I'm going to go watch The Aviator again. I really liked it. It took me a while to get past. Like, at first, I didn't care too much for Leonardo because I'm not really – I wasn't a fan of his until we hit Inception.
Ah, okay.
But then now going back, you say, well, wait a second. He's a good actor.
When you watch The Revenant.
Yeah.
Michael.
Remind me to tell you something about that after the show.
Okay.
Okay, anyway.
Okay. I feel like the audience should hear my response on that
one. That we should do a...
Well, yes, just a quick little one. So there's this new Christian satire website.
Good. That's what we need.
That is what we need.
Okay.
Called the Babylon Bee.
Oh,
boy. B-E-E, the Babylon Bee. And
like the Gazette.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's basically, it's not poking fun at anything biblical or you know, that's actually, you know, of God. It's, well... I say that, but it's just another way to exploit the foibles of church culture.
Oh, okay. I'm
so,
up for that.
So the article that I have linked in the show notes, which the link for that will be at the bottom of the blog post page.
Yes.
The article I'm linking to is just titled "Worship Leader Under Investigation for Not Playing Oceans."
Oceans.
And to me, that's hilarious.
Is that a video game?
No. It's a modern worship song. We're Church of Christ background, so we don't know anything with instruments.
I thought my jokes were bad.
I will just say, I've started following the Babylon Bee on Twitter, and every time I'll just be scrolling through, and I'll see one of their headlines. If I'm eating something or drinking something, I'll choke on it because it's so funny.
Okay, follow the Babylon Bee.
They're short articles too. Yeah.
Well, good. That's even better.
Yeah, it's just like, you know,
sold.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my lighting round.
All right, I don't have one. So Brandon, what is coming up? I think we should cut our list down and let's just say what we're doing next. Next week?
Next week. Oh, well, getting ready for Easter.
Yes.
The you know, the quintessential Christ figure in any pop culture is Superman.
Yes.
So we're going to be looking at Man of Steel.
Finally, and that is one of the reasons for Finding Christ in Cinema coming into existence.
Yeah.
Was Man of Steel and Les Miserables. Mm-hmm. Both those movies coming out at roughly the same time, both being overtly Christian.
Mm-hmm. And, you cannot deny it.
No, you can. You cannot deny it. Your papers, please. So we'll talk about that on the next episode of Finding Christ in Cinema. Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the GCT Network studio each Thursday, Lord willing, unless we're not, at around 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You can join us for live video and especially chat using the chat room and video player at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. Now, to witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational digital ministry, including all 94 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan's Missing Monday movie reviews, and links to our social media profiles, visit us on our website at christincinema.com. You can send email to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
If you want to call us up on the voice line, you can do so at 507-407-GCTN.
Great Scott.
And in case...
Oh, this is heavy.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
And in case that number doesn't work...
Yes.
Please, please, do not hesitate to use our brand new secondary line...
It's a trap!
507-407-4286. Now, let's just say you want to listen to the podcast, but Tom Hanks's air got to it.
Oh, the air got to it!
And you love duct tape.
Uh-huh. Love duct tape.
But you kind of sort of like falafel.
I love it.
Like falafel.
You can go to iTunes, you can go to Stitcher, you can go to TuneIn Radio, and please leave reviews there.
Yes.
Like good old J-Dog 6198 or 890.
This has some cute technology like the Iron Man suit.
All you got to do is just search them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
All? How many are there?
three.
No, not those three wombats.
Yes, those three wombats. Yes, Michael Douglas.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas, the Theonauts, and our brand new worship show, get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
It was tied to an anvil.
Shocking.
Oh, and that is a wrap.
Cotton-headed ninny muggins.
You gotta keep regular.
If you want to be happy, that is absolutely correct.
That's a weird way to end the show.
You gotta keep regular if you want to be happy.
Take a good old Fiber One bar on that one.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission.
At gctnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Make sure this is on. In and out.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Doubt. I was going to say in an hour.
Ooh. I predict an hour and nine.
Shortest show. It'll be 30 minutes.
All right, here we go.
This is what we started.